Coming up on today's show.
I had been praying to Mary my whole life, but I didn't feel like I had a relationship with her. I still did not feel like I knew her, and I still had some uncertainty. And I didn't feel like I was ready to do the actual consecration to Jesus through Mary.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up on the website for free. The Catholic Sports Radio newsletter gets sent out every Monday when a new episode comes out. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. When the National Hockey League trade deadline came up, the Tampa Bay Lightning reacquired forward Yanni Gourde, who they had lost to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft a couple years earlier. Along with him last month came forward Oliver Bjorkstrand. They flew across the country and suddenly were thrust into the lineup, not leaving very much time to learn the Lightning's system, or in Gourde's case, relearn or see what had changed. Of course, this happens in other sports too. A player gets traded and suddenly turned into someone that needs lots of instruction from their new coaches. In our faith life, as easy as it is to point to the Ten Commandments as a universal list of rules to follow in our daily life, there's more information available if we dig deeper into the playbook that is the Bible. After all, why does so much text exist instead of just one page with that list of 10 actions? In the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8 says, quote, "You have been told, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, only to do justice and to love goodness and to walk humbly with your God." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest not only competed in both college and high school in volleyball and dance, but coached volleyball for multiple schools over a 10-plus year period and still hosts volleyball clinics in addition to playing the sport both recreationally and for an annual fundraiser. In her younger years, she played four other sports as well. On the faith side, she has a master's in ministry and is a certified Catholic mindset coach. In June, she will graduate with a spiritual direction certification. She also hosts a podcast, runs workshops, and does Catholic speaking events. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kylie Hine.
Thank you so much for having me here, Bruce. It is a blessing and an honor to be here.
Thank you. My pleasure. Let's get started by having you share with the audience first about where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
So I grew up in a tiny little town called Weeping Water, Nebraska. It is south of Omaha and east of Lincoln. And I had five siblings. One was older and out of the house, so there was four of us at the home at any given time.
The boy-girl breakdown, and where were you in all that?
There were three girls and two boys. I am the second youngest, and we are fairly spread out. So my younger brother is 6 years younger. Next closest sibling, my sister, is 3 years older.
I don't know if my eyes got bigger when you said the name of the town, meaning who in the world has ever heard of that before, or when you said how many children there were. So, wow. Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the household when you were a young girl, including any Catholic education that you might have received.
Yeah, so I am a cradle Catholic. My mom was a beautiful Catholic role model for us. She took us kids to Mass every single week. My dad, on the other hand, was not Catholic. He was very active in the missionary church and ran a missionary church campground prior to him and my mom becoming married. So he only went to Mass with us on Mother's Day each year.
Mm.
But he had a very deep knowledge of Scripture. And so I think that was where I connected to the Lord with my dad, was he knew Scripture stories that as a Catholic I was not well versed in, because that wasn't a huge part of my Catholic upbringing. So I had CCD class, things like that, but went to public school and didn't have as deep of a formation as maybe someone who did have those opportunities.
See, this is all very interesting, because I think we all make the mistake of hearing that someone is a cradle Catholic, and you talked about your mom, and you convince yourself this person must have gone to Catholic school. And similarly, we also make the mistake of hearing about parents that are of two different faiths and saying, well, then the mother must have been the one that made all the influence. And here you are saying, no, dad is the one that really kind of opened my mind to Scripture more. So very interesting, and kind of a little bit of a different twist than what we're used to hearing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my mom definitely gave me this beautiful gift of the Catholic faith in the Eucharist, but my dad helped me understand the significance of Scripture, which I did not appreciate until I was much older and actually have started implementing that into my daily prayer practice.
Do you happen to know, have you ever had a conversation as far as what led them to decide that, I'm going to say just you because I don't know about your siblings, but that you would be raised in the Catholic faith?
I think that was part of the agreement when my parents got married. And initially, my mom had also tried to go to the church with my dad, but did not feel welcomed as a Catholic. I think there was some controversy there. And so by the time I came along, it was my mom was taking us to Catholic Mass. We were being raised Catholic, and my dad just simply did not attend.
Interesting. Okay. Meanwhile, wow. Talk about a multi-sport athlete. Tell us how you got started into sports. Which one was your first, and what it was about volleyball that eventually made that your sport?
When I was 4 years old, I had two older siblings who were competing in swim teams. So every single day I was in the pool. My dad worked for Boys Town in Omaha, Nebraska. So it was quite a drive for us, but we were allowed to participate on the Boys Town swim team. So at 4 years old, if I was in my hometown, they wouldn't even let me in the deep end. But there, they would let me actually compete even at the age of four. So during practice, they put me on the sideline in case I got super tired, needed to grab onto the side. But I was able to actually start competing in swim team at the age of four. And we did that for many years, but due to the drive and practice 5 days a week over the summer, it got to be too much. So I eventually started playing summer softball. I was always in dance. As I got older, added volleyball, basketball. Those were kind of the sports that were available in my area, and I did them all. I enjoyed whatever one I was playing at the time. But as I got older, a door opened for me in volleyball that I never anticipated, and that was to play college volleyball. So that just gave me a new outlet that I didn't even know that I needed or wanted. And it really excited me. I was going to go to a large four-year university, and at the last minute decided, no, I'm going to take advantage of the scholarship opportunity at this small Iowa University to play volleyball. And off I went, and that has been impactful ever since.
But I'm curious, in high school, you participated in, big breath, Bruce, volleyball, basketball, competitive dance, and track, plus you played summer softball as well. Wow. But as we established, volleyball was really the sport that had your heart. Yet, here comes the plot twist. In the lead up to today, you made a statement to me that was, quote, college volleyball really made me want to avoid the sport altogether, end quote. Huh?
Yes.
What was going on? Tell us what was happening with you. I sense the Lord's hands on this.
Yes. So again, my high school was very small and I was active in anything and everything, whether it was musicals, one act, all the sports. We basically went from one sport to another and I never took a season off. I went to college, really enjoyed the sport initially, but it was a big eye-opening transition for me coming from this small school into a new environment, not knowing anyone. After my sophomore year of volleyball, my coach that had recruited me and really got me there passed away from breast cancer.
Mm.
So that was very difficult. And we had a new coach come in. A lot of my friends in the sport ended up leaving. They actually went to be on the track team, of all things.
Mm.
I had an injury my junior year. I tore my PCL, was just having a hard time coming back, didn't really feel seen by my college coach. And I think I didn't have the emotional maturity or didn't really know how to handle that, that not being seen, constantly changing positions, and just really feeling scattered. And so by the time I graduated from college, volleyball just felt like something heavy. It felt like a job, which is part of why I didn't play my senior year. It's like I had lost this love for the game that I once had. And I didn't think I was going to do anything with it. But again, the hand of God, I had a professor who was the president of a very large Catholic school in the area and was able to get a teaching position at this wonderful Catholic high school. And part of the teaching position, along with it, came a coaching position in volleyball.
But let's back up to those struggles that you were having with college volleyball, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like maybe this was something that you were worshiping, that, oh my gosh, volleyball, and look, I'm getting to play it at this high level, meaning collegiately. And when things started to crumble around you, was that the case? And did you look to the Lord and say, what are you doing? Are you even here? Are you abandoning me? This is, you know that this is where my heart is athletically. What are you doing? Am I projecting all this onto you, or was that something that you did face back at that time?
No, I don't think you're entirely off base. I think the main issue was my faith was not the center of my life at that time.
Mm.
Leaving home and being at a university where I wasn't surrounded by a lot of other Catholics, and the ones I was surrounded by were not always practicing it. They weren't okay. Living it, and neither was I. And so I really fell away from God in that time. It wasn't that I stopped praying or that I stopped ever going to Mass, but I definitely wasn't consistent in it, and I wasn't in a state of grace. And so we know when we're not close to the Lord, when we're not listening to Him, we're doing what we want to do. And so I was taking on all of these other things. I was prioritizing other things, whether it be volleyball or school or chasing achievements. And we know we're not going to operate at highest capacity. We're not going to see the beautiful fruit of God when we aren't walking in His will. So again, I think you're not entirely off base in what you stated.
Yeah, so let's come back to where you had started to leave us off, and I want to split this up into two parts. You also told me that you really came home to your faith after you started teaching and coaching at a large Catholic high school. So, like I said, let's split this up into two parts. But first, I'm focusing on the part where you said you came home to your faith. So I was going to ask you, did you stray? Did you fall away? What was happening that you needed to come home to your faith? But it sounds like you were still in that part of your life that carried over from college where it was, I was still Catholic, I just wasn't really making it a priority. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
But here you were taking this job at a Catholic high school. Did that weigh on you that, oh my gosh, I'm going into a Catholic environment and I'm not really at peace with where I am faith-wise?
It didn't weigh on me when I took the job. After I got there and was persistently asked to help lead specific groups and help guide these students in their faith, when I felt like they knew so much more than me, simply because they had been in Catholic education for so long, I felt very uncertain in what I knew.
Wow.
And I knew that I really wanted to start pursuing that truth.
Mm.
And even just having math at school, you know, you don't want to be the person that, this was me at the time, this was my pride, not wanting to be the person who couldn't go up for communion, forced me to go back to confession, right? And so it gradually got me going to church again more often, not just weekly Sunday mass, but more frequently, and eventually leading me to pursue a master's in ministry.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And folks, I had said that I wanted to split that up into two parts. And the second part, because I want Kylie to continue the story from where she is now, arriving at this large Catholic high school and taking the teaching and coaching job, knowing where you've heard her say she was in her faith life. The second part of her story is powerful. Wow. Kylie has got some great, great witness that she's going to share with us. But you know, I had wanted to stop here to send out a special thank you to one of you who were kind enough to make a financial contribution to my ministry. Thank you so much for that gift. I hope you know who you are. I did send two emails saying thank you and asking if I had the okay to say your name for a public thanks, but did not get a response to those messages. So God bless you for your humility. It really does mean a lot that you were kind enough to send in that offering. If you are new to Catholic Sports Radio, thank you. Hello. Welcome. This is, in fact, a ministry for me, and I am blessed to have been called to this, and I am also blessed to have guests and listeners that have shown their support for what I'm doing by electronically sending in a financial gift, which is what this anonymous person did, or they have mailed me a check. There are probably a lot more costs than you might think when it comes to operating Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. In fact, I'm in the middle of sorting through something right now that I hope to have clarity on really soon so I can pass along those details to all of you. That's part of my aim, to be transparent, so you know specifically what those monies go towards when someone does make a contribution to the show. Again, for those that have just discovered Catholic Sports Radio, voila, it's just me. There's no staff. There are no interns. And in fact, this is not even my full-time or my part-time job, which means there really is no budget for all of this. And that ends up at me having to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover all these expenses. So while I do ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, I'm optimistic that you're going to say, yes, I like what you're doing, Bruce. This is not only a good show, but it's needed. There is value in this. It's a great tool to help people rededicate themselves to the church wherever they are in their faith walk. And to that, I say thank you so much, but I need to tell you how you can do it. So extending your support is as simple as using the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Kylie, before all that, I said we would break into two parts. You're having come home to your faith after you started teaching and coaching at a large Catholic high school. Specifically, you say that looking back, both the players and coaches over the years have really impacted your connection with Mary. Let's hear the great testimony that you have about all that.
Absolutely. I think it's reverse looking back at all these hidden gems that the Lord gave me that I did not see at the time. So it started that first year of coaching Catholic school, the first time I had really had faith integrated into sports, ending every practice through the intercession of Mary, Our Lady Queen of Victory, pray for us, a Hail Mary. So that's really where it began. I left that school, went to a public school, ended up back at another Catholic high school, really because I was missing that faith component, being able to talk about my faith in my work. that first year as an assistant coach at that last school, the seniors had decided that the prayer we were going to pray every day at the end of practice was the memorare prayer. I did not know that prayer, but I quickly learned it, again, asking for that intercession of Mary every single practice consistently. And so little by little, this process began. My first year as a head coach, my assistant, who became very good friends with, eventually asked me to do the consecration to Mary. And at this point, I had been praying to Mary my whole life, but I didn't feel like I had a relationship with her. I still did not feel like I knew her, and I still had some uncertainty. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this. So we started it during season, and I didn't feel like I was ready to do the actual consecration to Jesus through Mary. So I started again after the season using Louis de Montfort's full prayers, the whole works, and I made that consecration. And the profound shifts that happened in my spiritual life were so great.
Mm.
The way that sin seemed to kind of go away, things that changed my marriage, the way that I was just able to carry out my work. There were just these huge, huge shifts with Mary. Along with that, we went into COVID year. My assistant coach became the head football coach. There was kind of a void. During this time, not only were we dealing with masks and all the things, my dad had stage 4 colon cancer.
Mm.
One of my assistant coaches had a very serious family issue going on. The other one had another issue with her husband. I mean, these are very hard, heavy things that were going on. But one of the assistants was actually a missionary sent home due to COVID.
Mm.
And so having her there and having her deep faith, she actually gave me the bracelet that I still wear this day, which was a piece of her chain from her consecration to Mary.
Wow.
And so we were able to share that aspect. Down the road, my last year as a head coach, we used to have, on game days, we'd either go into the chapel to pray, or if a priest was available, he'd do like a short homily and just kind of inspire the girls a little bit. We'd pray before we got on the bus or we'd go to our game. So a priest was giving this beautiful talk, and I remember two phrases. One, he talked about holy hands as we were preparing to play volleyball. And the other, he said something about for thousands of years, women veiled because they were holy. And for whatever reason, that stuck with me throughout that entire next year. And veils started showing up everywhere, on my Facebook, on my phone, in public. You know, if I'd go to other churches, I'd see these women veiled. And I thought about it, but I was like, no, Lord, that is just not my thing, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
A year later, I left my coaching job. I left my teaching job. Really felt like I was stepping into what the Lord wanted me to do. And I was in adoration one night. Again, I never felt like I had this very deep connection with Mary, but that moment was so profound. I knew it was Mary's voice speaking to me. It was very clear. Mm. And I've never shared this publicly, so you're the first to hear this on air. She asked two things of me. One was to begin veiling at Mass in reverence for her son. And the second was to join the Legion of Mary.
Mm.
And having lost my own mother at 23, it really just deepened this connection with her. And she has just been a rock in so many ways ever since. I have done those two things that she asked me, and pray that I will continue to walk under her guidance.
Oh, just amazing. Just amazing. Thank you for the exclusive. Thank you for opening your heart and sharing that. That's so powerful. We could end right here, folks, and it would be a successful episode, but there's more to talk about with Kylie. But my gosh, just amazing, amazing testimony. And there has been such a run, Kylie. I'm sorry, audience. I need to talk to Kylie privately for a moment. There's been such a run on guests who have been talking about Mary in this calendar year, 2025. So no surprise that you just shared what you did. And that's got to be a sign to a lot of us to either rededicate ourselves to Mary or either get to know her if you've never taken that step, and I think you and the others in the Legion of Mary would absolutely second that.
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. So tell us about the work that you do as a certified Catholic mindset coach.
Yeah, so I was fascinated with mindset as a middle school and high school math teacher for 13 years, just wanting to understand why we believe the things that we believe. We can't do math versus we actually have the ability to do math. So I felt really drawn to spiritual direction, but I couldn't do that certification while I was still teaching. I happened to stumble along Catholic mindset coaching through Metanoia Catholic, which is a wonderful organization. And so I got certified in that. I absolutely fell in love with it. I get to work with women, sometimes men, but typically women who are really those strivers and achievers. And we get to work on deepening their faith and decreasing their anxiety and overwhelm and helping them to recognize and understand the beauty of their gifts, the way that they are driven and desire to excel in things, while also maintaining this prayerful balance of what is the Lord asking me to do and making sure that we are walking with Him. So all of those things that I struggled with that I mentioned in my early 20s, I get to help women, you know, kind of step back and look at what is God actually asking me to do and how can I rest in Him and sort through what I like to call the mind clutter. So decluttering the mind so we can actually hear what God's asking us to do.
Wow, which so many of us could stand to benefit from these days because we're all so preoccupied with far too many things, and then we try to multitask, and that's never successful. So, folks, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Kylie's website so you can go over and learn more about what she just described, as well as this is one of those instances of being on the guest side of the mic, meaning that you are a podcaster too. Kylie, tell the audience about your show.
Yes, I have a show called Persistence in Prayer with Kylie Hine. And again, it is geared toward those Catholic women who want to deepen their faith and decrease their anxiety. We talk about everything from mindset to faith and the spiritual life and inspiration for holiness. So we've got everything from Catholic priests to Catholic coaches and women who just have really inspiring testimonies about how God or the Blessed Mother have worked in their life.
Yeah, and audience, as I said, when you go to Kylie's website, you'll see more information not only about the coaching, but her podcast as well. Let's bring volleyball back into the conversation because there's something that you and your siblings do each summer that I love, and I want the audience to get to hear all about it, if you would, please.
Yes, so both of my parents have passed away, but even before my dad died, as soon as my mom passed, we knew we wanted to do something to honor her. And both of my parents were teachers, so we set up a memorial scholarship fund. And one of the ways that we raise money for that is each year we host a sand volleyball tournament to raise money. And not only is it beautiful in terms that it brings in money, but it is a way that some of our extended family comes to visit. They buy raffle tickets, and my siblings and I, at least those of us who are still able, also participate in the tournament by playing. So it's great bonding. We get to compete against one another, play with our spouses, and share a love of the game.
Do you still live in Nebraska after all these years? You started off this interview by saying the small town where you were born and raised, but are you still in Nebraska? And is that where this volleyball fundraiser takes place every year?
So I am in Nebraska. I'm actually in an even smaller town in Nebraska, considered a village, but the fundraiser typically takes place in Nebraska City. So I'm located between Nebraska City and Plattsmouth in Nebraska.
But is that something that I don't want to say is open to the public, but in other words, do you and your siblings do all kinds of promotion to try to get big numbers, anybody and everybody that wants to come and participate? Or is it, it's really just kind of, you know, immediate and extended family kind of thing?
No, anyone is welcome to participate. So we try to get, it's usually about 10 teams just because of the size of the current location, but anyone who wants to play is welcome to come play.
And what time of year do you do that?
We typically do it around June or July. I believe this year it will be held in July.
Okay. And obviously, folks, if you are or someone you know is in that area and you want to contact Kylie, you can do so through her website, Kylie, let's close by having you share about your husband, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yes, I am blessed to be married to my husband, Russell. We've been married for 10 years. He is not Catholic, so I'm going to throw that out there so you all can pray a prayer for his conversion. But he is a very wonderful spouse who has gone to Mass with me every week since we started dating. And we have two beautiful children, a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Well, Kylie, you're doing wonderful work for the Lord, both in terms of your Catholic mindset coaching and your podcast. And it's been so great to have you on Catholic Sports Radio. Thank you so much. God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Bruce. And thank you for your ministry and your dedication to this work. It's incredible.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, as a nod to the many, many years that Kylie spent coaching, I thought it would be fitting if we close this week's episode with one of our prayers for coaches. So let's do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Thessalonians, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Thank you, God, for the love and compassion you show me when I fall short of your expectations. Help me to inspire those I interact with to be what you know they could be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.